Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
We've weathered the unexpected. We've stepped into a new world. And now it is a time for our businesses to re-emerge. Sure-footed, clear-headed, and strategically on point. It is a time for greater certainty, for accurate, actionable market research and business intelligence to make effective, up-to-date decisions. South Africa, that is how we move our businesses and economy forward. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision-making.
A very good morning and welcome to this week's installment of Beyond Governance here at 101.9 High FM. My name is Nimrod Ubambele. It is always my pleasure to share this space and time with you as we stretch our minds for a deeper understanding of complexities of current affairs through perspective of my esteemed guests who are captains of industry. Before we get to the gist of our conversation, allow me to dispense with words of gratitude. On that note, thanks Howard Foreman and the Money Mayhem team for doing sterling work. He's back on your radio tomorrow at the same time. Also want to thank the team behind the show. Firstly, Vusi Masinga, Betsy, and Greg Cawthree. Guys, thank you very much for putting the show together. Moving forward, if you miss any of our conversations, simply go to High FM website, download any podcast, and share your views with us. Our SMS line is 061-895-10195. And of course, your views and thoughts are most welcome via my ad handle, which is @_@DrBelly. In today's episode, we're putting a spotlight on Black Business Council. For those who may not have seen at their media statement that was released, I think, only the 3rd of December, under the subject Black Business Council calls on BUSA, that is Business Unity South Africa, to stop claiming to represent all businesses in South Africa. Before we get into that, I think it is important for one to locate the media statement in context. Part of the, obviously, the context is that we all know that as of the 1st of December, the South African government assumed the G20 presidency for the first time. And this is obviously a historic leadership role guided under the theme solidarity, equity, and sustainability, and focuses on championing priorities of Africa and Global South. In unpacking this presidency, obviously amidst the tensions between BUSA and Black Business Council, I'm joined by Pilgrim Mofokeng, who is the Vice President responsible for business. Then if we can take you, thank you very much and welcome to Beyond Governance.
Doc, thank you very much for the invitation and a very good morning to you and to the listeners.
Thank you very much for your time. But before we get into the gist of the essence of our conversation, I just quickly want to weigh in on the cabinet reshuffling that the president did yesterday. We also media release on cabinet reshuffle, which is probably the fourth time. And this time around, what really triggered me to want to comment on it is that the only reshuffling that stood for me was the 2021 when he introduced the Minister of Finance as well as Mondi Kugubele as a minister in the presidency. The current reshuffling, which took place yesterday, as we have learned through media, is that, I mean, 7 months ago, I mean, we had elections 7 months ago. Some ministers, in my view, have barely understood less than 10% of their job. And the movement of Thembi Nkadimeng, who's the current Minister of Social Justice and Development, to human settlement, it's just absurd. The question that lingers in my mind pretty much around those that share similar sentiment is what happened to the VBS controversy? Isn't there a prima facie evidence to suggest that the wrongdoing on their part, no wonder why, in my view, ANC votes were deadly. But anyway, I mean, it almost feels like a all delinquent ministers are rewarded. But before, you know, perhaps maybe Reverend Fuke, my guests here, would want to share her views regarding the cabinet reshuffle. Your views on that, Gregory?
Well, it looks more like just a shifting of chairs, this reshuffle. You are correct, Doc, that There is obviously an elephant in the room in the form of a VBS. We are still waiting. The president promised that he's going to apply his mind to this matter and deal with it at an appropriate time. And we thought that the appropriate time came yesterday, only to see that the minister is actually being shifted to another very critical portfolio. And so it seems that, the president has either decided that, he sees nothing wrong with, the allegations that are circling around the minister as far as VBS is concerned, or he's still applying his mind. Maybe he will still come back to us and take the country into his confidence as to what his thoughts are on the whole VBS, shenanigans that have implicated the minister. So we'll wait. But for now, it looks more like just the shuffling of chairs.
Indeed. As we proceed with our conversation, let's quickly take our break and we'll be back in a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Did you know that where markets are concerned, it's not easy to detect the difference between objective and subjective reality, or between reality and fantasy? The business's view of the consumer has serious bottom-line implications. At Plus 94 Research, we help businesses cut through the uncertainty by gathering and processing real consumer intelligence through advanced scientific research methodologies. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision-making.
Welcome back. This is Nimrod Ntumbela. I'm joined by Gregory Mofokeng, who is the Vice President at Responsible for Business at Black Business Council. The context of our conversation is the media statement that they released suggesting that BUSA, which is Business Unity South Africa, does not represent or should not claim to represent all businesses in the country. As we proceed on that very note, perhaps maybe before we get to your bone of contention, give us your sense of what are the primary goals of South Africa's G20 presidency.
Through the statements that have been released by the presidency, it's clear that we are obviously looking at an agenda that will advance the Global South issues as far as the G20 is concerned. And I think it's a very opportune moment for us to take over the presidency from Brazil to continue with the issues that were brought to the fore by Brazil. So we are quite excited that we are taking over that the presidency of the G20, and that the matters that are going to be discussed, as I said, will be a continuation, and to still firmly put on the table matters that are affecting the Global South, as it were.
That's certainly something worth celebrating as South Africans, to be the first country in the continent to host the G20 presidency. But as we proceed on the note of what has been, obviously, the baton has been handed over to South Africa from Brazil, how will South Africa, how will South Africa represent at the interests of Africa in the Global South during its presidency? What's your take on that?
Well, our take on that is that we've been doing so. I mean, within the BRICS fold, where we have been pushing a broadly African agenda. So we have not gone into this, global, organizations only to represent our interest exclusively, from a South African perspective. We have gone in there and we have made sure that, even matters of, of the continent, are given attention. If you look at, the work that we've done to make sure that, trade favors, the continent, these are issues that South Africa has been championing. Within all this, multinational forums. So it's nothing new. It's just a continuation of what we've been doing as South Africa to represent, the continent on this global forums.
It's certainly something worth that we're going to be looking at with keen interest over the next couple of years as South Africa assume the presidency. But one of the issues that you've raised is that South African government, or let alone the Black Business Council, has obviously been at the forefront advocating for better deals for the African continent. And we all know that part of the, or at least the policy maintained by the incoming president, Donald Trump in the US, he doesn't favor, you know, multilateral agreement. And he's obviously pushing for a bilateral agreement. To what extent do you think South African's presidency will maintain multilateral agreements at the expense of or trying to push back what Trump often wants to see happening?
Well, that's definitely one of the issues that we're, you know, we will be pushing very hard on. And I think, you know, you've hit the nail on the head there to say that we favor multilateralism. You know, this unilateral, you know, or bilateral approach that the U.S., had under Trump. We're hoping that as he, you know, re-enters the White House, you know, he can see that the world is a bit different, you know, compared to when he was. The president formally, and that, you know, there is definitely room for multilateralism, and that we should strive, you know, to strengthen, you know, those multilateral organizations, as opposed to, you know, a world where one or two countries can take decisions that impact the rest of us.
Absolutely. That sounds quite sensible. But in the same point about, you know, obviously, the policy maintained or the posture maintained by Trump around, you know, bilateral would certainly put South Africa in the back foot, particularly in the context of AGOA. We all know that South Africa has been a beneficiary of AGOA thanks to the presidency of his predecessor. What's your position in terms of AGOA being used as a yardstick or carrot, and as well as a whip in the South African context? Because it's very clear, I mean, Donald Trump shoots from the hip. He's known for that. And he could, you know, obviously pull the rock on our feet by you know, diminishing all the returns on AGOA from South Africa's perspective. What sort of leverage do we have should he activate that particular posture?
Doug, it is important to know that we've been here before. This is not the first time that we've been threatened with expulsion from AGOA. And so, you know, on a regular basis, we have to, you know, react to this threats that come from the U.S. You will recall that previously, you know, we had stood very firm that we're not going to take a cheap imported chicken from the U.S. And even at that time, we were still, you know, threatened that we were going to be kicked out of AGOA if we don't toe the line. So this is nothing new. What I can say, you know, to the listeners and to fellow South Africans is that, look, South Africa, you know, trades quite extensively with the U.S. And what people forget, Doc, is that there is a huge presence of American businesses in South Africa. And of course, you know, if there's any threat on the other side coming through that we are going to be excluded from certain trade agreements, they also, you know, will feel a lot uncomfortable because there are South African companies trading in this country. So, you know, they will also be concerned. And we found that in the past, you know, they also will be betting, you know, in our corner to say, but, you know, some of these decisions must be rational. We can't have decisions that are arbitrary, that are not beneficial to both countries. So contrary to popular belief, you know, there is a healthy two-way trade between South Africa and the U.S. And those that are benefiting from that trade from the U.S. side are as concerned as we are that, you know, the expulsion from AGOA shouldn't then, you know, negatively impact the other areas of trade that we have. Because if we are expelled, we also have a right, you know, to review other trade agreements and arrangements that we have with the U.S. So all I'm saying is that, you know, it's not an easy decision that will be made by the U.S. And hence, even in the past, it was not that easy just to say, South Africa, you're excluded from AGOA. There are a whole lot more considerations that will go into that decision to expel South Africa, you know, from AGOA.
Well articulated indeed, Dr. Mufokeng, because the position around just arbitrary dismissal or exclusion of South Africa, it supposes that the relationship is not of mutual benefit, and it's not true. Contrary to that, As you correctly pointed out, there are a lot of South African US businesses who will also be hurt should he maintain that particular posture. And we hope that sanity will prevail between the US and the South African government, particularly on trade issues. You see, again, we talk trade, but there's also a geopolitical consideration that eventually marred the relationship. You know the position maintained by the South Africa in relation to Middle East. To what extent do you think that could also be used as a bargaining chip to get South Africa, to get the US way, its way in relation to how South Africa relates to South African foreign policy, to the Middle East? And one, the other big elephant in the room, obviously, has got to do with BRICS as a trading bloc, particularly on dollarization or de-dollarization of the U.S. currency. Your point on those two points?
Well, I think, if you listen to the narrative coming out of President like Trump and analyze what he said during his campaign, you will see that I think he is more aligned with the South African position as opposed to the current democratic dispensation in the US. He has already fired the first salvo to say to the Israel PM that by the time he arrives in the White House, he expects the war to be over. And that's our position as well as South Africa, that we'd like to see that war over. We'd like to see both Palestine and Israel coming to the table and finding a lasting solution through negotiations and not through the current approach by the Israeli government. So I think from that perspective, I think there's more alignment. In fact, if you look at the posture that South Africa took and the statements that have been coming out of President Trump. And moving on to the issue around the BRICS. We know that President Trump can sometimes be overzealous in reacting to certain statements. I think at no point did the BRICS political leaders say they are going to introduce the BRICS currency. What the statement said was that as we trade amongst ourselves as BRICS partners, let's do so using our own currencies. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We are not displacing the dollar in any way, shape or form. Globally, all we are saying is that, as we trade amongst ourselves, it is better to do so using our own currencies. And at the moment, there is no work being done to introduce a BRICS currency, as it were. And I think, a lot of people will agree that for you to have a common currency, there's a lot of work, foundational work that needs to be done, including alignment as far as the, central banks and so on are concerned. That's a long-term project. So we're not even there yet.
Oh, yes, indeed. On that note, let's have a quick break. We'll be back in a second. When you come back, then we'll get to the thrust of our initial conversation, which is based on Black businesses' contention that the Business Unity South Africa claims to be representing all businesses. Let's take a break with it in just a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making. Did you know that most statistics for commercial and social research are tested for accuracy at a 95% confidence level? As specialists in the field, we do tests between 90 and 99% confidence levels. This is not to be confused with our name. Plus 94 is a celebration of the miracle post 94 in South Africa. We can still test the accuracy of your data at 94%. It is in our name to give you the confidence you need. Plus 94 Research. The science of decision making.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Nimrod Ntombela. I am joined by Gregory Mofokeng, who is the Vice President responsible for business at the Black Business Council. The gist of our conversation is that they have released, they as in the BBC, Black Business Council, released a statement suggesting or claiming that BUSA, should desist, claiming to be the sole representations of black businesses. And this obviously is tensions that is very glaring. And whether it's healthy or unhealthy tension, that is a completely different question altogether. And I'm joined here by a senior official who will just unpack for us the posture of BBC in the context of issues that we have raised so far. Your overall overview of that particular statement that I'm looking at.
Well, Doc, it is a historical fact that it was the BBC and Business South Africa that actually formed BUSA in October 2003, and it became operational in January of 2004. And it is also a historical fact that in March 2012, we then relaunched the Black Business Council as we know it today, and that also meant that we served divorce papers on BUSA. Now, as one of the founding members of BUSA, as I said, it was only two organizations that formed BUSA, and when one organization then leaves BUSA, it simply means that BUSA can no longer claim the legitimacy to represent business in its entirety in this country. So these are historical facts, and we were just reminding BUSA of that in the media statement that we released yesterday, to say that their conduct should not suggest that they are representing business in its entirety in this country.
And you've also called on the president to recognize that particular posture. To what extent do you think the president is likely to heed to your suggestion or your claim that BUSA does not represent? Is it just perhaps maybe a common cause that it is like that? And I suppose the bigger question is, can South African businesses forge forward with this type of disunity, so to speak? What is materially at stake between the two big organizations?
Well, we don't expect the president to disagree with us. This, as I said, is a historical fact, and nobody can dispute it. We were the founders of BUSA, and when we served divorce papers on our partners in that arrangement, it then meant that BUSA no longer had the legitimacy to claim that they represent business in its entirety. This is a fact. So what we are asking the president to do is to remind BUSA of this, and within the arrangements between the state as well as business, this has to be factored into the equation, meaning that the representative from business must incorporate both representative from BUSA as well as the Black Business Council. And that is simply our expectation. Maybe it is important, Doc, to remind the listeners why we walked out of BUSA. One of the main issues was that once we were in BUSA, we saw that established white business was really not buying into the project of transformation of our economy. And so our voice was then diminished once we then, went into this marriage, lock, stock and barrel, as it were. We went in there hoping that we were going to have partners on the other side that are committed to the transformation project for us to be able to make sure that the economy of this country is reflective of the demographics of this country. We cannot have an economy that only benefits the minority to the exclusion of the majority. So this is the primary reason why we walked out of BUSA. And you can even see the stats today are still glaring as far as that aspect is concerned, to say that the economy is still not transformed. We are way far from transforming this economy. And so it just goes to show that we still don't have a committed partner from the other side to make sure that we have an inclusive economy. And that is the major issue here between ourselves and BUSA, to say that we need to see the economy being driven towards the direction of being inclusive and make sure that all of the citizens of this country can benefit from the economy of this country, as opposed to the current arrangement where a minority, an exclusive minority at that, is in control and in charge of this economy.
your bone of contention, which obviously shed a bit of light in terms of similar intentions. To your point, you served the divorce papers, to Busa as a founder member. Obviously, the legitimacy of Busa from your perspective is not questionable. But the question is, we have very progressive legislation in the country, which is supposed to be used as instruments to try and transform the very economy that you're referring to. From your perspective, what seems to be the major challenge around transformation agenda, which you think has not been activated sufficiently, and where do you put the levers that are in place, i.e. legislation pretty much across the board, the black economy, black business, and the triple VE as one piece legislation. Why is it that we have not moved sufficiently with a plethora of pieces of legislation that are in place, of which BBC has been party to formulation of those policies?
Let me preface the answer by saying the following. The Triple B Act, Doc, is actually a piece of legislation that is meant to socially engineer how things must happen in society, which is not ideal. You know, ideally, you want people to voluntarily buy into the concept, to buy into the vision, and do whatever they are expected to do in order to attain that vision. Here, we had initially relied on the goodwill to say, you know, those that are in charge of the economy will have the goodwill to ensure that the economy is opened and that it will be an inclusive one. Unfortunately, that did not happen. And that necessitated then the introduction of this legislation. So the legislation, which you are correct, that were very central, you know, to the introduction of this legislation, the legislation is now in place. We are experiencing a plethora of challenges as far as the implementation of this legislation is concerned. But let me focus for the purposes of our conversation on two of those challenges. The first is the political will, where you are finding that the people in government who are supposed to ensure that this piece of legislation is effectively implemented do not have the political will to make sure that it is implemented. Let me make an example. Recently, you know that there's a lot of talk around third-party access on the Transnet network, as an example. And there was a draft network statement issued by the Department of Transport to say how this third-party access is going to work, because already there's an interest from the private sector to participate in that sector and assist government to improve our network, our logistics network in that regard. Now, you will find then that because government is going to be licensing players into that space, you will then think that Triple B will be a requirement, that for you to get a license, you need then to also demonstrate that you are, respecting this Triple B legislation. To our surprise, we find that even the Department of Transport itself has not placed on the network statement, which is a very important policy that is being introduced, that in that policy, there's not even one sentence around transformation to say that for you to get a license, you need to be transformed, or you need to have a black partner, or black have black ownership in your business. Now, the law is very clear. Section 10 of the Triple B Act is very clear that when government licenses, it should take Triple B into consideration. So there's one part where you find that there is no political will to implement this piece of legislation. On the other, you then find that there is constant pushback in terms of the effective implementation, of this piece of legislation, and again, let me quote a recent example where you have found that senior, business executives within Dimension Data, as we know it, actually colluded and fronted in just to make sure that, you know, they undermine this piece of legislation, and that black people that were supposed to be the beneficiaries in the data transaction actually did not end up being the beneficiaries. So these are the two main reasons, or rather challenges, Doc, that I wanted to place before you and the listeners as part and parcel of the problem when it comes to implementation of this, BBB Act and all its other associated pieces of legislation.
Thank you very much for that anecdote, which we found very useful in that to obviously clarify some of perceptions or misperceptions on in our minds. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second. And when we come back, I want to, because you've given us the depth of the tension between BUSA and Black Business Council, because the media statement was more of a symptom of deeper tensions, and you've given us the depth of where the tensions stem from. And perhaps maybe as you proceed in our next segment, we'll get to know what has been the proposal that you put forward to try and mediate those kind of issues. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
We've weathered the unexpected. We've stepped into a new world, and now it is a time for our businesses to re-emerge. Sure-footed, clear-headed, and strategically on point, it is a time for greater certainty, for accurate, actionable market research and business intelligence to make effective, up-to-date decisions. South Africa, that is how we move our businesses and economy forward. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision-making.
Welcome back. I hope you heard. I hope you did not go far, and you're still around with us. I'm having a very thought-provoking, insightful conversation with an esteemed leader in the name of Peregrine Fokeng, who is representing Black Business Council as the Vice President responsible for business. And before we took that break, he was giving us pretty much a depth of the tensions that have been simmering between BUSA as well as the Black Business Council. And before we took that break, one issue that I put to him is that BUSA, the BBC has been party to a whole lot of legislative frameworks and policy instruments that are meant to fast track the transformation agenda, which is part of democratic dispensation, as it were. And in response to that question, he put forth two main glitch. One is a political will from government, and he made an example of the Transnet issue, where in government, as it issues licenses, did not articulate the BE requirements. And he also indicated to us that there has always been a pushback from business, in the inclusion of Black businesses in major transaction, and there's a lot of fronting which is put forward. So obviously these are very complex issues, and that has history behind. So taking this conversation forward, obviously, what would you say there have been the ramification of the divorce papers that you've served based on very deeply rooted and historical issues where both entities not able to find its way? The reason I'm asking this question is that you have NEDLAC, of which BBC as well as BUSA are party to. To what extent is NEDLAC being used as a catalyst to reconcile the differences between the two parties?
Well, it's also important just to again, amplify the background here, Doc, that in fact, to show how serious we were about unity back in 2003, we in fact closed BBC when we went into BUSA. So in 2003, we said we are going into this because we think it is the right thing for the country. And therefore, we are going to close BBC and go and form this new organization called BUSA that will represent business in its entirety. Meanwhile, on the other side, Business South Africa did not close. What they did was that it transitioned into what today is called BLSA, Business Leadership South Africa. And it is one of the core members as we speak within the BUSA fold. So I want people to understand that we went into that unity project because we believed in it. And that's why we even closed the BBC when we went in, because we wanted this unity project to work. And when we realized that it did not work, we then went out and re-established the BBC. So I think this is very, very, very important as part and parcel of the background. Now, moving on to NEDLAC. In fact, when we exited, when we went into the marriage with BUSA, there were seats at NEDLAC that were allocated to Black business. Those seats were, in fact, at the time under issued under the banner of NAFCOC, which is a strategic member under the Black Business Council. So all of those, we combined our NEDLAC seats as BUSA to say that we're going to have one organization representing business. Of course, when we then exited, we had an arrangement that we will still participate because the seats that BUSA had came from both Business South Africa as well as NAFCOC / the Black Business Council. Now, we then had that arrangement, which BUSA unilaterally once again terminated in 2017 to say that they were not going to, again, work collaboratively with the Black Business Council. So once again, we had established white business, taking a decision which is anti-transformation, which is anti-unity. And this is very, 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 very important. So it was BUSA that terminated that arrangement in 2017, that we are no longer going to work together at NEDLAC. And we've then had to go back and renegotiate with them to say, fine, although you have taken the stance, the voice of Black business must still be heard at NEDLAC. And then we had to conclude a memorandum of understanding to say that let's have another arrangement of working through NEDLAC so that the voice of Black business is not completely absent when discussions are held at NEDLAC. Now, that MOU, again, there's been serious challenges with its implementation, where you find that although we have agreed, BUSA keeps on coming back and not adhering to the terms and conditions of that MOU. So at every given point in time, we have tried as the BBC to try to say, let's have a working arrangement. Let's still project a united front as business as we tackle the different challenges that are facing our economy and the country. But it is BUSA that has always deviated from those arrangements. So this must be clearly stipulated and articulated. As matters stand, Doc, we are still trying to say to BUSA, let's find a way of working together so that our collective voice can be heard on all important matters affecting business in this country. And we are still having those discussions. And BUSA has still not fully come to the party to say they are committed to this way of working, which will be inclusive of all of the two organizations that are confederations, by the way, and representing business in its entirety in this country.
Well, certainly there are a lot of issues that needs to be addressed between the two major organizations representing business. And you obviously, you are firmly grounded in that BUSA does no longer represent the voices of Black businesses or the entire business community, as it were. And you obviously suggesting to us or indicate, putting to us that the NEDLAC, which is a fora comprised of government, labor, as well as business, you're still not finding space, or you're still not finding common ground to use that particular platform. The MOU that you refer to as obviously a binding document or guiding framework around the relationship between BUSA and BBC, still that you did not yield a commensurate result, as it were. Further down the line, what does it mean, or what has been the implications of this tensions between the two organizations when it comes to BRICS? Because BRICS is as a trading bloc, mainly representing business communities in the context of multilateral and bilateral agreements. You can also bring in the major pieces of initiative in the continent in the form of free trade agreement. What has been the implication of these tensions in BRICS and BRICS committees, and obviously now the G20? What does that mean?
Well, in fact, the if one looks at the arrangements as far as BRICS is concerned, in the country, Doc, we have the the South African Chamber, the South African chapter of the BRICS Business Council. There's a secretariat there, and the secretariat reports into the leadership of BRICS South Africa Business Council, and we are represented there. Interesting enough. And in terms of reporting lines, the secretariat reports first and foremost to DERCO, as well as the DTIC. And as far as the business organizations are concerned, they report also to BUSA as well as the BBC. So there's a very clear reporting structure there coming out of the secretariat of the BRICS Business Council in South Africa. So as far as BRICS is concerned, the working arrangement works because BUSA has acknowledged that we are there and we are jointly representing business on that structure. Now, when it comes to the Africa Free Trade Area. Again, we still have to work out the institutional mechanisms, something similar to the secretariat of the BRICS SA Business Council will have to be established so that we can then have a structure that officially communicates with the secretariat of the agreement that currently sits and is housed in Ghana, as an example. And so in the current activities, we are finding a way of working together. We often host the Secretary General of the Africa Free Trade Agreement, and then he comes into the country. We often have audiences with him, and of course we are jointly, meaning ourselves and BUSA, advising our members on how to position themselves to benefit from this very important dispensation that our political leaders on the continent have ratified for us to be able to benefit from. The challenge comes with the G20, where you now find that BUSA has gone ahead and declared itself the body that will then run with the B20, because on the business side it's called the B20, run with the B20, and they've appointed themselves in those strategic positions as far as the B20 is concerned. And that's where we feel that we need to obviously have sanity prevailing to say, but you cannot then claim that you represent business in its entirety, because we all know that is not the case. And so we've had discussions with them privately. You will see that our statement makes mention of that. But notwithstanding those discussions, they still went ahead and made a proclamation. So this is not the type of people that we're dealing with here. And it must be clear that we're dealing with people who will sit with you, agree on one thing, and go out there and do a completely opposite thing. So hence we had to issue this statement in order to rein them in and to allow for sanity to prevail.
To what extent do you think that particular media statement has made a dent? Because what you're saying to us is that you have conversations with them from time to time on key strategic issues and agree in principle or otherwise, but the next day they flip up and do a completely opposite thing. To what extent do you think this particular approach that you've taken has made any difference to the president, has made any difference even to the BUSA community themselves, for them to have a deeper reflection on how their posture offended BBC?
Doc, we are sitting here today having this interview because of that media statement. We want the public to also understand what is happening in the background. This is very important for us because we don't want to be painted as people who are just there to complain and are doing nothing to try and resolve some of the challenges that we are currently being confronted with. And so as we engage behind the scenes, we felt that it is very important that we also appraise the public of this very unfortunate conduct coming through from Busa. We are due to meet with the president soon, and hopefully you will see a media statement post that meeting addressing a whole lot of issues that we'll raise with the president, including this issue of the leadership of the B20 as South Africa takes over the presidency of the G20.
Indeed, as we proceed with our conversation, let's quickly take our break and we'll be back in a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Did you know that most statistics for commercial and social research are tested for accuracy at a 95% confidence level? As specialists in the field, we do tests between 90 and 99% confidence levels. This is not to be confused with our name. Plus 94 is a celebration of the miracle post 94 in South Africa. We can still test the accuracy of your data at 94%. It is in our name to give you the confidence you need. Plus 94 Research. The science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Nimrod Timbela. I'm joined by Gregory Mofokeng, who is the vice president at responsible for business at Black Business Council. The context of our conversation is the media statement that they released suggesting that BUSA, which is Business Unity South Africa, does not represent or should not claim to represent all businesses in the country. As we proceed on that very note, I think that's obviously in the best interest of the country, as it were, that both organizations find middle ground through conversations, dialogues, which obviously will include the president in a way to try and ameliorate the simmering tensions, because I don't think this is in the country's best interest, particularly in the context of a very mediocre economic growth. We do need thinkers. We do need shoulders to the wheel. We do need things. We need progressive forces that would put the transformation agenda forward, and so that the very unpleasant economic growth as well as high employment rate that we're seeing in the country somehow diminishes. It's very concerning that unemployment rate, as you all know, north of 40% when using broader definition of unemployment, when you've got more than 60% of youth that are languishing in poverty. And there's a whole lot of complex issues around small businesses that are not getting sufficient support to try and create job opportunities for those that have been disgruntled. So there are a lot of complex issues which needs to be addressed, of which the tension that we are seeing in the broader public do not do any of us a favor. So it is important that conversation continues so that we're able to find a middle ground. And perhaps maybe what I will also do on my part is to invite the BUSA president, the BUSA CEO, Mr. Mache, whom I know quite well. And hopefully he will be amenable, as he has always been amenable, coming through to the show, to perhaps maybe give us a perspective. Obviously, as a new CEO who obviously have a different views, different agenda, and perhaps maybe he will sweep a bit cleaner, maybe he will sweep a bit better than his predecessor cast. So those are some of the issues that we will put to him, and so that we get his perspective. You're pretty short on this important conversation that you've had, that don't forget.
Well, two issues, Doc, I think are quite important. You are right. We need a unified business in order to tackle the challenges that we have in this country, especially the challenges that have to do with our economy. Yesterday we heard that the third quarter GDP figures did not look good. We registered negative growth there, and so we should be focusing collectively on solutions and making sure that this economy is pumping for the benefit of its people. But for that to happen, you need to have sincere and honest partners around the table. The way BUSA has conducted itself, has been rather unfortunate as far as our relationship is concerned. And so it is obviously disconcerting that every time, you try to extend a hand of friendship to say, let's try and make this work, there's a rebuttal from the other side. It's very disconcerting. And so I agree with you in the first instance that we do need a unified business to be able to partner with other social actors in order to make sure that we address the challenges, of this, of our country and the underperforming economy. The second issue is that we definitely do welcome and that you invite the incoming CEO of BUSA to come here and put their side of the story to you and hope that they will also be factual, in putting forward their arguments to you. Like I said, it's factual that we started BUSA together with Business South Africa. That cannot be disputed. It is, historical fact that we walked out of BUSA, in 2012. That cannot be disputed. It is also factual that we have BUSA terminated our partnership at NEDLAC in 2017. They must give you those reasons. And you and the listeners will then assess why they did that and why even post that when we have an MOU, they still choose not to respect the terms and conditions of that MOU. So I'm hoping that they will be given an opportunity to come and explain themselves and that you and the listeners will then apply your minds and your wisdom to their side of the story.
Thank you very much for that insight and observations. Very insightful. To me, very insightful, hopefully, to the listener. Let's do this again next time. We thank you very much for your time. Look after yourself and have a beautiful day ahead of you.
Thank you very much, Doc, and a wonderful day to you and to the listeners.
That was Dr. Gregory Mofokeng, who is the Vice President at the Black Business Council, responsible for business, giving us a very in-depth analysis of the tensions that are similar between BUSA as well as BBC. And I obviously made an offer to him that I will give BUSA CEO an opportunity to respond to some of the damning claims that BBC is putting forward. We're looking forward to that. I will certainly keep you updated on those developments. Meanwhile, have yourself a beautiful day. Look after yourself. It has been absolutely blessed. Shalom.